The life of man on earth is a warfare. And St. Paul reminds us of the same truth in today's epistle, that we are in a battle, and everyone in this battle is fighting. And we're fighting not for a corruptible crown, but for an incorruptible one. And so we are fighting not as one beating the air, but we are fighting with a great purpose in mind. In the former years and past, America's finest young men wished to distinguish themselves in the service of their country, and so they would join up in special forces like the airborne divisions or the Marines or the Navy SEALs. They would go into these special forces because they wanted to distinguish themselves and be in the front line of battle. This obviously was a very noble thing, and you need people like that in any warfare. But the problem is today that the world governments are becoming one. They're all united. There's becoming a one world government. I think it's pretty clear with the United Nations. It's pretty much those who are under the United Nations and those who aren't. And there's becoming this one world government. And there's really, the lines of battle are not clear anymore politically. You're not really sure what to fight for or what you are fighting for, as we've said in the past. You know, it just seems our soldiers today don't really know what they're fighting for anymore. What does it mean to fight for freedom when, you know, the world today has a totally different meaning of what freedom is? But I wanted to point out to you that even though politically today it's no longer clear what we're fighting for, there is a great battle going on now that is very clear. And Christ our Lord is calling you to join that battle. It is the two standards. The standard of Jesus Christ and the standard of Satan. And these lines of battle are very, very clear. It's morality versus licentiousness. 22 years ago, when I was in the seminary, our seminary went to Washington, D.C. to take part in the pro-life march. And I remember when we came out of the hotel where we had celebrated the high mass and we joined the march, you know, there was a big roar went up from the crowd and everyone was happy, and we marched to the Capitol and we prayed the rosary and sang hymns. It was pretty peaceful. It wasn't, you know, it was nice, but it wasn't anything really that memorable. It was nice, but I guess it's because in Washington, D.C. in January, it's very cold and there's a lot of snow. And it just, people pretty much leave you alone. Why? But yesterday in San Francisco, it was something I never saw before in my life. I never knew there was such a war. The battle lines are completely drawn and are clear. There is truly a war going on today. And it's a war, yes, pro-life is part of it. That's one of the fields of battle, but also homosexuality, the destruction of the family by divorce. That's another battlefield too. You have all these different battlefields today that are going on in the world. It's basically the battle of Christ the King versus Lucifer. When at the pro-life rally yesterday, and those of you who are there probably would realize what I'm saying, but when the rally started out of the park or out of Justin Herman Plaza, the pro-life rally was moving to the Embarcadero, and as we came up over the ridge and on the crest of the hill, you saw all the enemies of Christ standing against us on the other side of the street, lined up with their banners. And all the pro-life side had their banners as well. And it was very reminiscent, in my mind anyway, of like the battles of the Middle Ages, when the two armies came into the field together carrying their banners and were lined up against one another. It's the the two standards that St. Ignatius writes of in the spiritual exercises. And basically, the pro-life side is Catholic. As the minister said, who was speaking at the rally, he said in the 1960s, the civil rights movement was black and Baptist. And today, the same fight is going on, but today it's white and Catholic. It's true. Yesterday I saw the Catholics come together in a way that I've rarely seen in my life. This whole battle is really being spearheaded by the Catholics. And it should give you great encouragement to know that you are on the side of Christ the King. And while the Catholics prayed the rosary and sang hymns, the enemies on the other side shouted obscenities. Everything about their side was vulgar and satanic. It was so vivid and clear, I think, to anyone that was there. You just wondered, how could anyone be worked up to such hatred against people who are marching peacefully, who are just saying their rosary, and or walking and talking quietly with one another? They're worked up into a frenzy. And so that procession, especially down the Embarcadero, but all along the way, became the way of the cross. It was the Catholics walking down the street, saying their prayers, and on either side they were being screamed at with vulgarities and obscenities that are unspeakable. Our Lord said that by their fruits you will know them. And you can see what the fruits of that movement is, the pro-choice movement, I mean, the pro-abortionists. They're full of hate. They're full of impurity, obscene speech, and vulgarity. The things they had written on their signs were so unbelievable that you would say, this has to be a joke. Who would write that kind of stuff? And who would promote themselves as being so anti-God? But that's what they were doing. I think yesterday the true colors of that so-called pro-choice came out. Their true colors were made known. And I think that there were certainly a number of Catholics who wanted to fight, who wanted to get in battle with them. But that's not what our Lord would want. Because, as I said, it was the way of the cross. And all you had to do was say to yourself, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus did it 2,000 years ago when he walked along the way of the cross and people were screaming at him and throwing things at him and hitting him. The same thing was going on yesterday. I saw an old man who was, he had to be over 65. And some kid comes up to him and punches him in the face and knocks him down on the ground. It just was unbelievable. You would just say to yourself, this stuff doesn't happen in the United States. But it does. And what would Jesus do? I think our Lord would want you to do what he did. He would want you to walk along that way of the cross with your head bowed in prayer and singing hymns and praying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because that's the only way to overcome evil. You cannot overcome evil with evil. You can overcome evil only with good. That is Scripture. And the only way we're going to overcome this evil in our country is through the practice of the Catholic faith, through the practice of goodness and virtue. Father Alessio and I got caught behind the enemy lines. It was kind of funny because the police were trying to keep the other side back, but what happened at one point at Fisherman's Wharf was they basically, the enemy sat down in the street and linked their arms together and blocked the procession. As I said, they were very, very vocal and very vulgar. And the police didn't want to really make any arrests or do anything, so they just made the pro-life group march around the street the other way. But the thing is that Father and I had moved up to see what was going on, and, you know, just, we didn't know there was, you know, people sitting in the street, or at least we didn't know how many of them were in the street sitting there. And anyway, what happened was after we moved up, we got to the front where we could look back, and I was looking at some of my parishioners who were standing in the front behind the banner of the pro-life movement. And they were, I saw one of our parishioners taking pictures, and I'm like wanting to wave to him, and all of a sudden I realized, uh-oh, we're surrounded, we're on the other side. And the police had, unfortunately for Father Alessio and I, they had barricaded us. The police had linked arms and stopped anyone from going to the other side. And so Father Alessio somehow pushed his way through the policemen. But I met a cop who just wasn't going to let me by. And so he told me, go around. So I was like, oh great, now I got to walk through all these people. And the hatred that they have, especially for the Catholics and for the cassock, which is so vividly Catholic, was palpable. And they really hate the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church and Jesus Christ. This girl started screaming in my face. I don't even know why. I mean, I didn't say anything to her. She just turns around and starts screaming at me, "You want to kill my mother." I'm like, "What? We're pro-life. I don't want to kill anyone." And she's screaming at me these things, and I said to her that we're not attacking you. We're just here to pray. And she said, "Don't pray for me." And I was going to say, or she moved away, I was going to say, "Well, we don't have to pray for you. We're praying for an end to abortion. That's what we're praying for." And it is a spiritual battle that's going on. And it was kind of, just to finish the story, it was kind of nice because when I went around, I had to walk down another side street. And I went around, and as I came out the other side street, I saw the front of the pro-life movement coming towards me. And all I can tell you is, again, the difference was palpable. You were now in a group of people who are kind and who are good and were... we're just praying. You could feel, as it were, almost, you could sense the goodness of Christ. And it was a tremendous difference. In one side you were in the camp of Lucifer, and the other side you were in the camp of Christ the King. And you move in, and even though you are amongst Novus Ordo Catholics or Protestants or whoever, you are amongst friends. Everyone there that was under the banner of the pro-life movement was a friend. And they know that the Catholics are heading it. They know that the Catholics are the leaders of it. And so they turn to the priests, they turn to the leaders of the movement to ask you to lead them in prayer, to lead them in hymns. They want that. And so even though it was a very sad thing in a lot of ways, there was a lot of hope. There's a lot of joy there too. Because the pro-life movement, or the Catholic side, you could say, was the only side that had young children. You see these little children in this march. They are the little lambs of Christ. And you see these little children, innocent. I saw this little girl about 3 years old walking with her mother, and her mother was pushing a stroller. And the little girl had her hands over her ears because the people were screaming such vulgarities at the pro-life movement. And then this three-year-old girl held up her finger to them and went, "Shh." That's all she did. And it was just so beautiful. You see these little children like that, and they're the ones that are innocent. And they're on the side of the pro-life movement, as also were many young people that were there. Many, many young people were there, and it gives you great hope for our country to know that on the side of the Catholics there are many fine young people. But make no mistake, we are in a war. The other side screams that we're fascists. And that's laughable because you're looking at them. They're the ones screaming and threatening, and they're saying we're fascists? They're the ones acting like Nazis. They say we believe in freedom, the right to choose. Well, then leave us alone. If you believe in freedom, then you should believe in freedom for the Catholics to express their faith and for them to pray. Why do you stop them? Why do you try to block their procession? Why do you want to prevent them from asking God to help them? You believe in freedom, then believe in freedom of religion. It's part of the First Amendment. But they don't. The only freedom they believe in is freedom to do what they're doing. Licentiousness. That's the freedom they believe in. That's the freedom that they're preaching. Is freedom from all morality. From all restraints of authority. That's the freedom that they're preaching. You can always tell. By their fruits you will know them. Look back over history and you can always see in the movements that were right and were good were in peace. And were with prayer. And the movements that were not of God were full of vulgarity and obscenity and were full of drugs and impurity. All of those movements, you can see the difference. The standard of Christ the King was made clear. Now, St. Paul says in today's epistle that our fight is not without a purpose. And that is true. We chastise our bodies and bring them into subjection. That is, you do penance. And there is a purpose behind what you're doing. And he says that we are all similar. Our fathers were all under the cloud. He's speaking to the Israelites, of course. They're all, when they left Egypt, they all passed under the cloud and through the Red Sea. They're all baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, the manna, and drank from the rock that Moses struck and produced water. And yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. Now he's speaking to the Israelites, but you can also take these words and refer them to the Americans of today. Our fathers, our families were all similar. They came over to this country from Europe. Or from South America, or from Asia, wherever. They all came over to this country. And they all went through similar things. They all passed through the Depression. All fought in World War II and in Korea and in Vietnam. We all grew up watching the same kind of TV shows and listening to the same kind of music. We were raised in similar ways. But with most of us, God was not well pleased. Because the thing is that we are all, at least all of us who are Catholic, we're given this great gift, the gift of faith. And we were expected by our Lord to do something with that gift. And unfortunately, many, many people chose to do nothing. And like the gospel says, they stood all day idle in the marketplace. That is, most Catholic Americans have done nothing. They go to church, yeah, but you know, they'll miss Mass too. It doesn't matter that much to them. Church is a Sunday thing. So their faith doesn't really have to enter in. Give up, oh, forget about giving up meat on Friday. We don't have to do that. We don't have to fast during Lent. Or we don't have to go to church on these holy days. And so many Americans, like St. Paul is saying to the Israelites, so many of you just became like the people of the world. And you didn't do what Christ wanted of you. And so what our Lord is saying in today's gospel is it's time for you to heed the call of Christ, to enter into the vineyard. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. We need workers to enter into the vineyard of the Lord. We've been idle far too long as Catholic Americans. We've been idle. We've been just standing off on the side, not really putting our faith into practice. And what I mean is, I don't say that you have to join the pro-life movement or go march in the cities. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying to you is your faith has to become vivified. It has to become part of every day, every hour of your life. And you have to realize that this gift is to be used. There is a purpose behind your abstinence on Friday, behind your family rosaries, behind getting up and saying your morning offering. There is a purpose behind all of those things. And it's to bring about an end to the immorality that is destroying our country from within. And it's to bring about an end to the crime of abortion, to the end to homosexuality, to an end to all the terrible things we see going on in our nation today. This is what we are praying for, and this is why Christ gave you the gift of faith. And what is more, is he gave you his mother as your queen. I know that Our Lady is very, very involved in this whole thing. Yesterday, almost all the prayers were being directed to the Mother of God, and hymns directed to her, and banners flying in her honor. So many things were shown that Our Lady is very much involved in this. It reminded me of that Our Lady of Częstochowa, where she has those scars on her face, and her face is smoke. It's covered with smoke because of just the history of the picture. I can't get into that now, but it's so much to remind us that she is a warrior. She is fighting for us and with us. She is by our side. You know, they tried to fix those. I told you this before in a sermon. I know they tried to fix those wounds on Our Lady's face on that picture of Our Lady of Częstochowa, but they always come back. It always comes back. Because she's wanting to show that she is there and fighting with us, that she's willing to get involved in the struggle. And so when you say your rosaries, it's not without a purpose. And children, don't object to your parents bringing you to Mass or asking you to say the rosary. What they're asking you to do is be part of this battle that is going on. We need little children. We need your prayers. It is only going to be through the prayer of the innocent, of the innocent children, that we're going to be able to gain what we've lost, which is the restoration of the faith. So today at Mass, I want all of you to resolve to no longer be idle. That is, to put your faith into practice, to say your prayers without fear every day, everywhere you are. Why is it that we're so afraid to make the sign of the cross in the lunchroom at work? When you see ball players in front of millions of people on television watching them, they'll make the sign of the cross before they go up to bat or before they make a free throw. Why are we so afraid to make the sign of the cross in the lunchroom? Or why are we so afraid to wear a miraculous medal or a little crucifix around our neck? Or to let people see that we're saying the rosary? Why are we so afraid? Our Lord wants you to be involved in the battle. And the only way you can be involved in that battle is by not being afraid anymore, by getting up and going into his vineyard. You have to make the resolution, I am going to take my faith more seriously. I am going to realize my faith comes first in my life. I'm going to go to Mass as often as I can. And I'm going to say the rosary every single day. And I'm going to keep the festivals of the church and the fasts of the church. And I'm going to do penance because I am fighting not without a purpose. I am fighting to bring about a great victory of Christ the King. And so all of us have to make sure that we are getting up and going into the vineyard. We have a great reward that's awaiting us. You see that. At the end, our Lord is going to give to everyone the great reward. Some are entering at the first hour. That is the beginning of their lives. They enter in. You have little children serving Mass, going to catechism class, Catholic school, saying their rosaries and their prayers. And you have others who don't convert until much later in life. But at the end, if you are all in the vineyard of the Lord, you will be saved and you will be given a tremendous reward. And to those of you on the front lines, that is those of you who go in these marches and stand in front of the bishop's house praying your rosary, or go into the streets of San Jose, I want to remind you that you must be especially vigilant, that you're going to be attacked and you're going to be hated. You're going to be spit on and you're going to be cursed. And you have to be very, very strong. And you have to remember to be like Jesus Christ, to keep your head down and to pray and not to respond. You will not overcome evil by evil. You will overcome evil with good. And it will be by prayer, by your rosary, by your devotions, by your hymns, that you will overcome them. You will be victorious. You have Jesus and Mary on your side. Let us then all take up the standard of Christ the King and of our Immaculate Mother Mary as our Queen. Let us all stand with them and be resolved to never depart from this faith, to make sure that it's the most important thing of our lives. You are in a great war that's going on right now in the United States, in San Francisco, in the world, all over. This battle is going on. The lines of battle are being drawn. Let us stand with Christ our King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.